In all of my choices, I choose life. And He promises that He will give you a beautiful life, a satisfying life. It doesn't mean a life that's without trouble, but it's a life that is without fear, knowing that God is for you. Who can be against you? I mentioned last week about what it looks like to live a life devoted to the Lord. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, we read it last week, says, "The Lord longs to be gracious to you." You know, this is an expression of who God is. As we've been reading the Bible as a family this week and just looking at the whole context of Scripture from beginning to end, it's remarkable as you watch and see the unveiling of the revelation of God to people throughout history, throughout Scripture. More and more you get to see God revealing Himself, teaching people who He is. And you read right through to Revelation and you're discovering more about this wonderful Savior, wonderful Lord. And you realize it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God in three persons, one God who has just so much to know about Him that we can spend all of eternity discovering more of who He is, that we never get a handle on God. He's not containable. There's always more to discover. And the Holy Spirit wants to continually give us revelation about Him that will spark us to worship Him in fresh ways. That's why every day God has put daily bread for you to help you, to encourage you, to spark you in worship. Hallelujah. And here it's saying that the Lord, this is a revelation of the heart of the Father. He longs to be gracious to you. And sometimes we approach God with this attitude of, "Oh, Lord, please bless me. Please help me. Please be merciful." But actually, the heart of God is He longs to show compassion to you. He longs to be gracious to you. He longs to bless you. He wants to lavish His love on you more than you are physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally able to handle. And so He tells us in Ephesians 3 to pray for supernatural strength, to be able to have the supernatural capacity to comprehend just how great this love is that He has for us. This love that isn't just an idea or a feeling, it's tangible. The blessing of God that He wants to pour into your life, the favor, the experience of His love in a practical and real relational way is something that the Lord is longing to give you. He's longing to bless you, longing to lavish love on you. And He's simply waiting for you to posture yourself and say, "Be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. I open my heart to receive from you today." And as we receive His love, our heart wants to respond in love back to Him. And we enter into this glorious joy that Jesus had set before Him. That is relationship with God Himself, the Maker who created you for relationship with Him. Hallelujah. This is exciting. I preach myself happy. He waits on high to have compassion on you. It's like He's, "I can't wait to hug them. I can't wait to love them. I can't wait to pour out my love upon them. For the Lord is a God of justice." His idea of justice is to give you what He's always wanted to give you. His idea of justice is that Jesus, having served the justice, the wages of sin is death, therefore Jesus, who knew no sin, came and He became justice for us. He took on the penalty of sin, the wages of sin, and His idea of justice is that justice, having been paid through the sacrifice of His Son, now gives Him the joy of being able to lavish the love on you, the compassion, the relationship, the blessing that He's always longed to give you. Isaiah 61:7, "For your former shame, pain, and disgrace, I'll give you double recompense, declares the Lord. For I, the Lord, love justice." His idea of justice is to give you double for your trouble, even when you brought the trouble on yourself, because He loves you. He's better than any parent has ever loved a child. Hallelujah. How blessed are all those who long for him. In other verses, in other versions, you can read, all those who wait for him in faith will be happy. Or if you read it and you look it up in the Hebrew, you can see that word long for him or wait for him is actually adhere to, be devoted to him. This idea of being joined to him, being utterly given, adhering to him, sticking with him, joining to him. Blessed are those who are devoted to him. And I haven't been able to get away from this concept of the heart desire of God for a devoted bride, a bride that has devoted themselves to him, men and women who would devote themselves to the Lord. And when you look at the whole narrative of Scripture, you can see this message from the beginning. God's desire for an exclusive relationship with us, where he is our God and we are his people, where he who is a jealous God gets to lavish all his love on us and we love him back as the one true God, our Lord, our King. This is the heart of the Father, and it's the narrative of Scripture all the way through as you look at it. God's desire to be with us, to have relationship with us. You know, the first commandment that was given was that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You know, his desire is to be loved back by the people he created to lavish love upon. Hallelujah. And he tells us, how blessed are those who actually willingly devote themselves to him. There is a benefit that is beyond our understanding. The benefits of God for those who are the righteous, those who would follow after him. Sometimes I'd read these wonderful blessings that had come, the blessings for the righteous through the Old Testament, and I'd think to myself, oh, rats, I haven't quite measured up to that. I don't think I can have that because I couldn't really judge myself as, you know, being up to that standard. But when I got the revelation of the good news of the gospel, the truth is that I don't have to measure up. I simply have to humble myself and receive by faith the righteousness of God and the empowerment then to step into the holiness of Jesus and to live a life worthy of him by his power, not by my strength or by my willpower, but by his strength, by his power, and by his faith. Hallelujah. So everyone who has given their lives to Christ is no longer a sinner, but has become a saint, the righteous, the blessed righteous ones. Hallelujah. Have we got any righteous people in the house? Righteousness is not based on your performance. It's based on your faith in the sacrifice of Jesus, that you have become the righteousness of God in Christ, having exchanged your life and your sin for his forgiveness, his mercy, his righteousness. Hallelujah. So the blessings of God are for those who are devoted to him. You know, as we read through the New Testament, you can read about Paul and Timothy and James and Peter, Jude, all these people open their letters with the statement that Paul, a bondservant of Christ, or Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 1. Romans 1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. James chapter 1, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Jude chapter 1, verse 1, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. It's fascinating the way they refer to themselves as people who are who have freely committed themselves to be devoted to him. A bondservant is somebody, doulos in the Greek, is someone who is a slave. A slave, though, not in a negative sense, but a slave in that because of the love that I have for him, I have freely laid down my life to serve him, to be a friend of God, we've been invited to be. But we come with the attitude that my life now is no longer my own. It's been bought with a price. And therefore, in all of my attitude, in all of my work, in all of my walk, in all of my serving, I come with the attitude, my life is not my own. It's been bought with a price, and I serve the one who is goodness personified. I serve the one true and living God. I am a devoted follower of Christ. And this is how they open their letters. This is how they consider themselves. Now, the Bible tells us to consider ourselves, to reckon ourselves dead indeed to sin and alive to God in Christ, to actually have the mindset continually think about ourselves as those that are given to him, as those who have been devoted to him, to remind ourselves that our lives now are for the praise and glory of Jesus, the praise and glory of the one true God. He's our God, and our allegiance is due to him alone. But as bondservants, that means we've renounced other masters. That is, I have one master. His name is Jesus. My God, he is my God. We'll serve him only. That's the mindset and the attitude of a bondservant. Let's have a look here in Romans chapter 6. As Paul has been talking about himself as a bondservant, it's for the sake of love that he's committed himself, he's joined himself to the Lord. But Romans 6:22 says, "But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Life and life more abundant. This is the blessing, this is the privilege of belonging to the Lord, of having a life given over to him. We have the choice of who we will serve. I was reading Joshua today and reading about how Joshua would say, you know, you guys can do whatever you like, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He was making a decision. This is what we're going to do, because this is our choice. I've seen too much. I know my God is good, and we are giving, me and my house, we belong to the Lord. This is what we're going to do. It's a choice I'm making. I'm giving myself, my family, my life. We will serve the Lord. And this is the heart desire and the posture that God wants us to have, because whoever we serve is who we receive from. Whoever you make your master is the one you will receive from. The Lord, he is good, and his mercy endures forever. The Lord, he is patience personified. He is goodness personified. He is everything that is pure and lovely and of a good report. He is life and life more abundant. He is the way, the truth, the life, the fountain of joy. He is peace. He is everything that is good and wonderful. This master wants to provide for you everything that he has. It's my good pleasure to give you my kingdom. Everything that I have now becomes yours as you open your heart and you adhere to and join to me. It's like a marriage. When you get married, I mean, when I got married, I was 20 and I was just come out of uni. I had no money, hallelujah. I spent whatever money I had on a missions trip, and I had $250 left, and Tom's dad very kindly let me buy a car for $250, which I thought was pretty nice. But I had $0. And then I married Tom, who'd been working for like 4 or 5 years and had saved up like $13,000 for a deposit on a block of land. I'm like, man alive, this is awesome. I'm now Mrs. Tom Renala. I have access to the checkbook. I have access to the same funds. Like, whoa, this is awesome. I used to buy my clothes from the secondhand store, and when we got married, he went out and he came home and said, I saw a nice dress down at the shop, you should go buy it. I'm like, I love you. I love you. This is a good thing. When you join yourself to somebody, you get the opportunity and the privilege of receiving from them. When you join yourself to God and you give yourself to Him, saying, I will be yours and you will be mine, the blessings of God are then available to us, which is wonderful. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we can look at this and think, oh, I don't know, is it a good deal? I might just hold something back, you know, I'll have God on Sundays and I'll say the prayer and I'll just live for myself. But the truth is, as you try to hold on to stuff, all it is I look at it like a valve. The more I try to hold on to my own life, the more I am cluttering the free flow of blessing that God wants to pour in. But if I seek to save my life, I actually choke off the life that He wants to give. But if I lose my life for His sake, then I get His life. Hallelujah, which is beauty instead of ashes, life instead of death, joy instead of mourning. It's the most wonderful thing. Romans 6:16 says this, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you believed, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Hooray! Praise the Lord. The one that you obey is the one that you serve, and the one you serve is your master, the one that can bring the blessings. But whoever you choose to serve is where you will receive from. And serving, it tells us here in the scripture, is who you choose to obey. So you get a choice every day. You get a choice in all through the day. Choices of whether you choose to feed the desires of sin or whether you choose to remember, I'm not my own, I've been bought with a price. I choose life in every situation. You get to choose, and whoever you choose is the one that will feed you. So if you choose that which is pure and lovely and of a good report, you get that which is pure and lovely and of a good report. If you choose that which is not good, which is ugly, Then you start to reap from that. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So, you know, in a practical sense, that comes down to our everyday living. At nighttime, when you're choosing what entertainment you're going to have or what you're going to do for your evening activity, you have a choice whether you sow to the flesh or you sow to the Spirit. If you choose to watch something that's full of lust, then you're going to reap struggles with lust. If you're going to choose to look at stuff that's ugly and full of foul language or demonic or horror stuff, you're going to reap fear and struggles with bad language, because whatever you sow to, that is, you sow your time. Time is precious. Okay, you're going to give 2 hours to something, or 3 hours to something, or an hour to something. Sow to what you want to reap from. That which is pure and lovely and of a good report will give you dreams that are pure and lovely and of a good report. That which is ugly, that which is evil, that which is sinful is going to reap a negative harvest in your life. And so we have to make a choice every day. Hey, we're not conformed to the pattern of the world. My life is devoted to the Lord. What does a life devoted to the Lord look like? You know, I look at all the blessings of the patriarchs as you go through the Old Testament. Ridiculously extravagant blessings. Prosperity in every area of their life. The blessings of God that the Lord desires as he speaks over the children of Israel. That there'll be no miscarriages among you. That you'll prosper. That you'll be the victors in everything. Like, it's rich and it's lavish and it's abundant and extravagant, the blessings for the righteous. And God has made a way for you and I to be the righteousness of God in Christ. This is what he has for us. But if we will open up our heart and make room, that's how we begin to receive from him. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. We've looked at it before. It says, I desire loyalty, not sacrifice. Some versions say, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. But in the Hebrew, the word there is actually compassion toward God. I desire that you'd have compassion toward my heart desire for you to give yourselves wholly to me. My longing heart, his heart as the Father, is longing for a bride, is longing for children, is longing for those who would be loyal to him. This is the whole story of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Romans 12, I like this in the Passion Translation, verse 1. Beloved friends, what should our proper response to God's marvelous mercies be? To surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. A beautiful life. God's desire for you is to live a beautiful life. And this is how you live a beautiful life. You bring yourself as a living sacrifice to him, willingly reminding yourself every day, my life is devoted to him. Hallelujah. My life belongs to him. I choose life. In all of my choices, I choose life. Hallelujah. And he promises that he will give you a beautiful life, a satisfying life. It doesn't mean a life that's without trouble, but it's a life that is without fear, knowing that God is for you. Who can be against you? Hallelujah. So what does it look like to live a devoted life? Now, I believe it should start by acknowledging God at the very beginning of your day. Before I go to sleep, I set the communion beside my bed. Now, you don't have to do it this way. This is just how I do it. There's no scripture that says you need to take communion every day. It's just, for me, it's a good little touch point for me. So I set it up beside my bed before I go to bed. So the first thing I do in the morning as I wake up and talk to the Lord is I come before the Lord and I bring the bread and the wine. I bless him. I thank him for his body that was broken for me. Like, for example, last night I was having a bit of a sore throat through the night, and as I'm thinking, oh, I got a sore throat. Oh, maybe I won't be able to preach. Oh, maybe. And then I went, that's ridiculous. Stop it. No, I see sickness on his body. He bore sickness on his body for me. Thank you, God. And I picture being able to preach, being able to do all the things. I'm not going to plan for sickness. I'm going to plan for life because Jesus put my sicknesses on his body. And then when I woke up in the morning and took communion, first thing I did was take the bread, bless it, and say, thank you, God. By your stripes, I was healed. Hallelujah. By your suffering, I've been joined to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you for my church. Thank you for the body of Christ worldwide. Thank you for accepting me, for joining me to you. As I take the cup, I take a moment and I take the opportunity just to think, you know, what can I learn from yesterday? What are some of the things that, yeah, God, I'm sorry. That was a bit selfish in the way I had that attitude. And I repent. I ask the Lord for mercy. Not because I don't believe he hasn't already forgiven it, but because I want to learn from what I did. If I made a mistake or if I didn't live up to the mark, I want today to go to a higher level. So I come before the Lord and I transparently check my heart and I say, thank you, Father. I'm clean, I'm righteous because of your blood. But thank you, Father, you're teaching me to grow from glory to glory. You're teaching me, show me your ways, teach me your paths, guide me in the way everlasting. And I take the cup and thank him for his cleansing blood. I thank him for his mercies that are new every morning. Thank him for the power, reminding myself that I was crucified with him, buried with him, raised up with him. Today, my life is devoted to God. It belongs to him. Hallelujah. And in setting the day like that, I've set my day up to be geared toward thinking and remembering that my life is devoted to him. I take my prayers and requests, I bring it before the Lord, I thank him for all his help, I go through my list and I bring all my prayers and requests to him. And I open up the Word of God and I read until I get the daily bread. Now some people will, you know, do their duty. They'll read a scripture, you know, I've done my duty, I've read a scripture. But God actually has for us every day, daily bread. Something special to speak to you. Did you read today and get that special treasure personally for you today? If you haven't, you can go home and read it tonight. This is my book, Speak Life, and I have put in here declarations that I really believe as we declare them, the Lord will do them. Take this for example. Thank you, Lord, you've laid up good works in advance for me to do today. I'm strong, I'm alert, I'm healthy, I'm the fragrance of Christ. I like this one. Every day I grow closer to you and I fall more in love with you. Grab a hold of declarations today and speak life with me because it'll change your world.